Hello, this is a Football Fans podcast and people behind CelticUnderground.net. Following tonight's results, Celtic will remain in Europe after the 31st of October. Whatever Boris Johnson wants to get up to. What is proroguing anyway? So with Celtic deciding to remain in Europe, I thought it would be a good idea to get somebody on who's probably fed up talking about it all the time. We are going to be in Europe beyond the 31st of October, so I got everybody's favourite Celtic-supporting political journalist, Mr Kevin Schofield. We're on to talk about matters straight after the fantastic 4-1 victory over AIK of Stockholm. And after we do that, we then have a preview of the Glasgow Derby, which is the last league fixture before we go into the international break. So enough of me. This is me, Harry Brady, with him, the Politics Home editor, Mr. Kevin Schofield. So with Celtic deciding to ditch Article 50 and stay in Europe beyond the 31st of October, I thought I'd get someone who's now sick and fed up of talking about that type of stuff on the podcast. Star of every Celtic fan's political intake, Kevin Schofield, how are you doing?
I'm very well, Harry, how are you?
I'm excellent, thanks. Even better with Celtic. I couldn't tell you the last time a team of this standard, Celtic, scored 4 away European goals.
Amazing, absolutely amazing. It was a remarkably professional away performance in Europe. I think we've been scarred by so many horrendous nail-biting matches, and of course, and they go and hit the post after 2 minutes, and you think, oh Christ, here we go again. But no, it was, I mean, they rode out the first maybe 10 minutes, was a wee bit dicey once or twice, but other than that, I thought we were pretty comfortable, which was amazing. Even at half time at 2-1, you're still thinking, all right, well, they need to score 5, but you know, you're not completely relaxed, because you think, well, have they scored a couple of quick goals? Which is ridiculous, really. But aye, to go in and get 4 was great. But to me, it's tinged with a little bit of regret. You just think, you know, we were definitely good enough, certainly to beat Cluj and probably to get into the Champions League proper. You know, it was just a disaster that night. And I think if he'd played the team they played tonight 2 weeks ago, we would definitely got through. But what can you do, eh? So what's done is done. So thankfully, though, they're in the Europa League, because it would have been a complete disaster not to be in Europe at all.
Yeah, I mean, actually, I was counting up, and I think we've scored 22 goals in European football this season.
I mean, that is ridiculous. Yeah. 22 goals, and it's not even September.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much, I mean, that's just fractionally under 3 goals a game.
It's amazing. I mean, going for front four, I saw Lennon was talking about this after the game. The front four are on fire, you know. I was glad to see Edward as well. Apparently he's going to be fit for Sunday. I suppose we'll come to that later. But middle to front, I suppose if you chuck in Cal McGregor as well, you see the 5 of them going forward, it's fantastic. They're playing really, really well. Obviously, the defence is, I think, still a work in progress, if you're being kind. But going forward, it's great to watch, and they're scoring goals in a way that we haven't done probably since Brendan Rodgers' first season.
It's quite, I mean, it does all, I have to break into the podcast, anyone listening to this will know, but breaking news in the podcast, Rangers Europa League match with Legia Warsaw has been stopped after smoke covered the pitch when a flare was lit by the visiting fans. Right, okay. Yeah. So they had a banner of John Paul II, and now white smoke is pouring out of Ibrox.
Can you imagine? That must be going down terribly well with the locals. And you sent me as well before we came on a picture of Arthur Boric is in amongst your fans as well.
It is.
Yeah, I'm sure that's gone down well.
Oh man. Anyway, back on to which actually, I mean, my main concern about tonight is I actually quite fancy the idea that Rangers have to go to extra time.
definitely, absolutely.
Because it would just take them out of them. Well, no matter what, they're going to their bed late tonight.
Aye, absolutely.
If the games had to be stopped.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. And you're right, I mean, an extra time would be a massive bonus, definitely. Keep them out there for as long as possible. But I mean, that was the other thing about tonight was that, you know, you were frightened that they would go out and then you're on a massive downer before the game on Sunday, but not just to go through, but to go through emphatically. I mean, confidence is going to be sky high.
Yeah, I mean, that was the thing about the performance against Dunfermline. My recollection of my youth was Celtic having a shy October or November because we'd been knocked out of Europe and the club's on a downer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's no doubt that was a massive hangover that day. At that time, obviously, you're starting to think, you know, this season could unravel here, you know, unless they get a grip. But they certainly look like they're back on track, and you know, another massive game. If we were to get a result on Sunday, then it's happy days, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, I was not particularly looking forward to Neil Lennon as Celtic manager, but hands up so far, apart from the Cluj game, you know, we are banging in the goals. Well, and obviously the Dunfermline game, but I'm sort of parking that to one side because the downer that the fans would have been on. But, you know, we look like we could concede goals all the time.
Aye, in many ways, it's like one of my mates sent me a message, I think, after the Cluj game. It's like it was good. At least it was good to see the Civ back in action. You know, it was like back in the. I was at the Partizan Belgrade game. There was definitely shades of that. You know, it was just like shooting in. You know, I think the biggest concern after the Cluj game was the fact that Lennon had picked that team, and you think, you know, what was going through his head, and it's McGregor at left back. Nonsense, and the two Bolingoli and Julian on the bench, you think the whole thing, just something's no right. You know, he doesn't trust these guys that he spent £10 million on. He's mucking about with the team, trying to shoehorn and charm in for some reason, and you just think, hang on, this is all our doubts. Like you said, this is all our doubts about Lennon actually coming to fruition, but he seems to have screwed the nut a wee bit since then. And absolutely, you cannot argue with the fact that, as I said earlier, going forward, It's fantastic. You know, it's exciting. He's definitely tactically changed it from the Rodgers days. It's less tippy tappy. It's much more
direct.
Let's get absolutely. Which is, you know, the problem with that obviously is, as well as you're going to concede goals, and it's not always going to be 5-2 and 4-1 or whatever. But it's exciting. You cannot deny that it's exciting to watch.
Absolutely, and getting back to the European football, oh man, again, more breaking news.
I guess the Rangers have scored, have they?
Morelos, 90+1.
You're joking, seriously?
No, they were just obviously a handful of minutes away from extra time, which would have been just perfect.
Never mind.
Yes. No, I shouldn't be doing this while doing the podcast because I'm getting thrown as to what to talk to you about. So, all of this chat then makes the Cluj night, I mean, without going over it, just that makes that so annoying and so frustrating because it seems to be such an aberration in terms of the way that we have been playing. I mean, I think their penalty in that Cluj game just made such a difference. But anyway, on to tonight. So you're happy with the team? And I think the other thing, I think my gut feel is that Neil Lennon was thinking, we are winning games here. I'm just going to try and keep this team together until I have to change it. And I think that's why, it's the only reason I can think why the new signings were on the bench.
Yeah.
Julian in particular.
Yeah. Aye, exactly. I mean, I'm glad now to see them getting a game because you were thinking, God, surely, God, they've not spent £7 million on a guy who the manager doesn't trust and who maybe just isn't good enough. But yeah, there's signs, certainly. He scored tonight, obviously, but, you know, it's certainly, he's on the right he's on the right track. So that is encouraging. I thought the team tonight was pretty much the team that he would put up as the strongest team that he could put out. Really, mm-hmm. given that El Hamed was injured, I guess he'd probably have played if he'd been fit, and Aya would have been in the middle, and Bitton probably would have dropped out. But other than that, that was the strongest team. And that's probably, of course, Ayer's injured now, but that's roughly what the team will be, I guess, on Sunday as well.
I would expect so. So quite happy with the team. And James Forrest is a fantastic player these days.
Again, I think Rodgers has got to take a lot of the credit for that. I think Dyla, it looked like he was on his road out.
Really. Yeah.
And I don't think a lot of fans would have complained either, probably. And then Rodgers obviously saw something in him. And I think what's often forgotten as well is he kept Paddy Roberts at the team for a long time. As much as we all love Patrick Roberts, Forrest kept him at the team a lot in that first season. And he just scores so many important goals. And the other thing that I always notice, if you see the goals he scores, 90-odd% of them are in the corner. You know, they're so well. He doesn't just try to hit the target, he tries to get it in the corner. He's a great player. And it's not just the goals, it's the important goals that he scores. He scores so many goals in Europe now that have been really, really important goals. I mean, I can go back to the Clues game, don't want to keep talking on it, banging on about, but you know, he gets the goal right after half time against Clues, takes it really, really well to get back in the game. And he's undroppable now.
Yeah, what I think's great about him, you know, you mentioned about Paddy Roberts, because he creates and he scores goals, and he's now one of those players that makes a difference in the Celtic team.
Aye,
for me, you know, when he comes on, or when he's playing on Song, we as a team play better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's so composed as well in front of goal. You know, that goal of the night, I mean, that he had a lot to do. It was a lovely ball for Edward, but, you know, he had a lot to do. He controls it, he cuts inside, he takes the boy on and sticks it away in the corner, you know. I mean, and the timing was perfect as well. You know, completely takes the pressure off. They've got to score four, and it's pretty much plain sailing from then. But yeah, in Europe in particular, he's a massive player for Celtic these days.
On Premier Sports, commentator and Chris Sutton were extolling the pass from Edward, which was a lovely pass. But for me, it was the thing you've just mentioned there. It was Forrest's first touch, just the way he took it, just took the defender out, which then gave him. I know, you know, the goal was then, he didn't, nobody in front of him, the goal was opened up in front of him to then put it into the corner. And yeah, he hit it with his left foot. You know, there was a long period where if he was cutting in from the right, part of the problem was he would then want to hit everything with the outside of his right boot and not use his left foot.
He is good at that, though. He's got he scored a few goals like that, bending it with outside the right foot. But yeah, it's much easier if you can actually use your left foot. He's obviously been working on that, I would think, but no, he's a massive player for Celtic. Now, I'm surprised actually. There's never any real talk about. I know that I'm complaining, but you know, never any real talk of other clubs coming in for him, in the way that, you know, obviously there was constant speculation about Tierney. We believe there was a bid from Leicester for Callum McGregor in the summer as well. Thankfully, for some reason, other teams didn't seem to notice James Forrest, and long may it continue. You can see him staying at Celtic for the rest of his career.
Yeah, absolutely, and you're right. I mean, I do find it odd that teams are not coming in, because he's just got that little bit of additional pace. You know, he's at the right second, just to get just in front of the defender enough to be able to get the cross in or cut inside. So they then went and made it one each with a penalty. Did you think it was a penalty?
No. Definitely not. I mean, it looked like he just... I mean, the worst you could say is maybe it was a little bit clumsy for ball and goalie, but even then, it's so soft. The guy just sort of cuts across him. Ball's nowhere near him, and the guy just takes a tumble. Maybe there was a wee bit of contact, but to me, that's not enough for a penalty. And then you think, oh, Jesus, no, that's then they get back into the game. And you're a wee bit anxious that things might start to slip a wee bit after that. But you know, thankfully, they get the goal really quickly afterwards. But no, I didn't think it was a penalty at all.
No, I thought both players were watching the ball.
Yeah.
And then they sort of turned.
There has to be an intentional foul. And that definitely wasn't intentional. This sort of was like a coming together almost.
Yeah. But then when the penalty's taken, you know that they're going to score, because I think now Craig Gordon, that is, you know how when you're at school and a teacher's wanting to criticise people for how they've done in a multiple choice test at maths or something like that, and the teacher would say, look, if I stuck a monkey, he'd get 25%, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah. You think by the law of averages, Craig Gordon should save some penalties sometimes.
There's been 3 out of 46 penalties in his career that have not been scored.
3 out of 46?
Yes. One of those, three out of 46, and one of those was somebody hitting the bar.
That is unbelievable.
You know,
you're right. You think you would guess right every now and again.
Well, there's two things. One, you would have thought, I mean, I remember, and this isn't always the case, but there's a good chance if a player takes a very angled run up, so say a right footed player is standing as he faces the ball, sort of quite far to the left of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And he's more likely to then hit it to the left as you look at it from behind him. Because mm-hmm. he's taken that run up so that he can get power by whipping his foot through the ball. The straighter he is, the more likely he is to hit it to the right. Okay? So if I know that, now that's not always the case, but it's something like 7 out of 10 times with those. So if I know that, he should know that.
You'd like to think so. And, you know, Stevie Woods is a great goalkeeping coach. So you would think that there's research going into it. Like, we're playing this team today. If they get a penalty, this boy's likely to take it. And this is how he usually takes it. You would think, you know what I mean? There's a little, it's not just a guesswork. It is remarkable. His record against penalties is absolutely atrocious.
I mean, it's
so bad.
The other option you've got, rather than trying to pick a side and doing that, is in the same way that if you're right-footed or left-footed, you can have a favourite way to hit the ball and stuff. Goalkeepers will dive better to one way or the other. The other thing you would have thought, just always go the same way. Are people really going to study the keeper that much? Maybe in domestic football, but to really study a keeper in European football, whatever, just always dive the same way.
Yeah. No,
surely there's roughly a 50-50 chance.
Well, you would think so. But there as well just no bother taking the penalties. You might as well just give them the goal.
Yeah, look, ref, it's all right. We'll just go and kick off.
Well, aye. But I think actually that might well be his last game for a while. I think he'll play Forster on Sunday.
I wouldn't be surprised if he does, which, couple of things. One, on the Craig Gordon, to be fair to him, he has saved one important penalty for Celtic. And that was in Israel.
Oh, I forgot about that. Aye, that's right.
Yeah, so he has saved.
You think it'd be quite easy to remember because he's saved so few.
Yes, you could remember the one. The one Celtic penalty he saved. I did think it was ironic that we get a penalty. Because one of the things, I always thought Rab Douglas was good at penalties and Fraser Forster's good for penalties because they make themselves look huge in the goals.
Mm-hmm.
And I always think if the keeper looks huge, the player taking the penalty is more likely to then think, I've got to stick this right in the corner because this keeper's enormous. And then I'm more likely to just miss as a consequence. Because I'm trying to... I can't even think of people who've just... You know, like I say, there's only been 40... There's only been 3 out of 46 penalties that haven't been scored against Craig Gordon. Never mind, he saved them.
Actually, just haven't gone in the back of the net.
Incredible. 43 out of 46. Jesus.
Now, the thing is, we get one penalty against us on Saturday from Hearts, and Big Fraser Foster saved it.
He saves it, I know. It's not a coincidence.
No. Yes, it's one each. You know, they get a penalty, you know they're going to score. But the brilliant thing is we went straight, I mean, a bit like we did against Cluj, actually, when we made it. We went straight up the park and scored.
Yep. A great goal in that, you know, the way that he beat the two defenders, and I'm not convinced he was trying to score, but and the goalie makes an absolute arse of it. But it was a great time. He scored a goal, absolutely, completely snuffs out any hope they've got of coming back into the game. I mean, he's somebody else, Mickey Johnston, who's become a really important player. Obviously, Lennon sees him as his first choice left winger. And he's still young and he's still pretty erratic, and he's going to have good games and bad games, but it was a great time to score up. But I'm pretty lucky, really, the way that the goalie made an arse of it, but still a great time to score, given that they just go back into the game.
Yeah, I didn't rate their keeper at Celtic Park, so he showed himself. So 2-1 at that point. Surely you were now able to relax at 2-1.
Well, but as you said earlier, even then, you're still, just as I said, ridiculously scarred by previous collapses away from home in Europe. But at 2-1, you'd have taken that at the start of the game, obviously. And they then need to score 5. So the chances of them getting 4 in the second half were obviously pretty minimal. And I thought that the second half Celtic were pretty comfortable, well, extremely comfortable, really. It was a really professional performance in what looked on paper like a difficult fixture, like a difficult tie. Actually, I mean, 6-1 on aggregate is better than we could ever hope for, I think.
Absolutely. And I suppose the only thing from a couple of things is the choice of substitutions. Ayer going off injured, has to bring in the defender, one of the few defenders.
Yeah,
and we bring in Ralston. I had hopes for Ralston, but he's not going to make it, is he?
No, he's not. He's definitely not going to make it. I mean, Rodgers obviously tried and made up his mind that he wasn't going to be the answer at right back, and Lennon has definitely made up his mind on that. He's miles out the pitch, and I've just signed this boy from Stoke, so that's two guys ahead of him now. I think I wouldn't be surprised if they maybe tried to rush through another loan or something, maybe to get him out the door before Monday, but no, he's not going to be the answer long term.
No, so but the other two ones, one again on Premier Sports, Chris Sutton was getting very agitated, considering Lenny's his mate. He was getting very agitated about the fact that Edward was staying on the pitch.
Yeah.
When the tie was won and we should have been protecting him. Were you surprised at how long it took for Lennon to take Edward out? I mean, it took basically Edward to just lie down and say, I'm no playing anymore.
Well, I'm surprised, yeah, because there was no real point of having him out there. The game was won. We were going through. And given how important he is going to Ibrox on Sunday, I wouldn't really want to go into the game against Rangers without Edward starting. I was quite surprised. So I'm not sure what was going through Lennon's mind there, because obviously he didn't play him on Sunday against Hearts. So it's not like he's no frightened to protect Edward when it's required. It was a bit of a strange one. And it's interesting what you mentioned on Sutton as well, being critical. It's quite difficult for Sutton, isn't it? Because Sutton's built his reputation on being this quite a cantankerous, outspoken, controversial pundit. And Lenny's obviously a good mate of his. So maybe he has to try that a wee bit harder just to emphasise that he's not going to go soft on Lenny. But that's a side issue. Yeah, I was surprised, and I was glad when they eventually did take him off. But at the same time, you're thinking, oh Christ, he looks like he's got a bad one there. has he pulled his hammy or what? And is it, if he had, then he'd obviously boot for a while. And as much as Bio looked okay on Sunday, you wouldn't want to chuck him in against Rangers.
No, no. Although the last couple of strikers who have been chucked in against Rangers have done not bad. And you've then thought, actually, this guy's a good, much better than I thought he was, in Dembele and Edward.
That's true. It's just it's taken Bio such a long time to break in, much longer than Dembele and Edward. You think, well, there's obviously still doubts about the guy. He's still a bit raw, and it's still a bit early for him to be playing in a massive. I suppose it can go two ways. Either the guys go out there and they freeze because it's just such a massive occasion and he just can't handle it, or they go out there and play without fear and a star is born. But you don't really want to take a risk, do you? Really, if you can help it, you've got to try and get your main men on the pitch on Sunday.
I mean, so what's your thoughts about the fact that Bio started on Saturday against Hearts? Saturday.
Was it Saturday? I keep saying Sunday.
No, it was Sunday. Right. Sunday against Hearts. And he was the guy that came on.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? I wonder whether Griffiths... I'm not sure what's going on there.
I mean, I suppose it could be two things. It could be he's got to get game time and Lennon was super confident against Hearts and decided to play him. You know, it could be that. I initially thought, right, the reason he's playing is because he's third choice, so he needs Edward and Griffiths fit for the midweek game. You know, so that was why I thought Bio played. And then the other thing you might consider as well, we're through this tonight, so Griffiths is, we know what Griffiths can do. Griffiths can play international football and Griffiths can play for Celtic in Champions League, so let's see what Bio could do. But the other way of looking at it is, it looks like Bio might have gone to St. Joy striker.
Well, aye, and that is. I mean, I'm a Lee Griffiths fan. I think he's been a brilliant signing, a brilliant player for Celtic. But I'm just a bit concerned now that maybe Lennon, you know, he's had 6 months in the job, and he's obviously had a few months of seeing Griffiths in training, and is deciding maybe that he's Bio is now the second choice, and Griffiths is now falling in the pecking order. He didn't get picked in the Scotland squad there, obviously, through the week. So I just wonder whether Griffiths is now starting to drift a wee bit as far as the first team is concerned. Because you'd have thought, you know, he'd have come on tonight. I was surprised that he never slipped in there the weekend as a second choice when Edward wasn't playing. I think Griffiths will be pretty disappointed.
So the other substitution that took place in the game was that Lewis Morgan appears to have stolen Charlie Mulgrew's naked pictures of Neil Lennon. And he's now came on. You know, and I know people who think that he's actually not as bad a player as I think will be shouting, saying, "I hope he scored the goal." So he did. He scored the goal. He scored the goal for Celtic.
So
what are your thoughts of Lewis Morgan being in the squad and Scott Sinclair being nowhere near it?
I just don't understand it. And I think there must be more to it than meets the eye. There must be a reason for it that is escaping me, certainly. I mean, you know, Sinclair has never scaled the heights that he did in the first season, obviously, right? That's a fact. But even still, he still scored a lot. Was it 17 goals he scored last season, I think?
Yep, about that.
That is, you know, that's a lot of goals that you're taking out your squad if you're not going to play him. But for whatever reason, he's obviously way, way down the pecking. He's in Siberia, basically. He's not quoted. And when he's got Mikey Johnston ahead of him, Lewis Morgan, and presumably Johnny Hayes, because Hayes is always there.
Ah, yeah.
At least he's on the bench. I don't know. Are they trying? I wouldn't be surprised, a bit like Ralston, I wouldn't be surprised if they find a way of getting him out the door before Monday as well. I don't know if it's something to do with his wages or what, but for whatever reason, Lennon has, or a decision's been taken that Sinclair is no long for this world, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, managers there to pick the team and get his, you know.
Yeah, no, that's true. That you're right. That's his job. But you always just think with Sinclair, even if he's come off the bench, he's always good. He's always good for a goal. But yeah, clearly his time at Celtic, I think, is over. And I don't see any way back from now. And I wouldn't be surprised if he was gone before the window shuts.
So we're through, and the draw is taking place tomorrow, right? Now, yeah. This, I didn't have time to do any sort of detailed research. This is the list of teams for the Europa League group stages as they were prior to tonight's games, based on who would be expected to get through. So Celtic are a pot two team. And the thing I would say, and I'm not just saying this to try and glorify the Europa League, and, you know, obviously we'd prefer to be in the Champions League, but I do think Europa League now is the teams that we might play are the teams that you would expect us to have played in the Champions League about 15 years ago.
Mm. Oh, so, there's a lot of big names in Pot 1.
Well, the Pot 1 teams are Seville, Arsenal, Porto, Roma, Man United, Dynamo Kiev, Besiktas, Basel, Sporting Lisbon, CSKA Moscow, Wolfsburg and Lazio.
Jesus, that's a lot of big names there.
Yeah, I mean, there is a lot of big names there. I think you could get Europa League, a bit like Champions League, but more so in the Europa League. I think you could get a group that you would be saying, I think we've got a chance of qualifying and maybe even winning that group. And then you could get another group where you're thinking, wow, let's hope we can not finish bottom.
No, I know, absolutely.
So those are the pot one teams. Pot two teams, which include Celtic, PSV Eindhoven, Krasnodar, Copenhagen Celtic, Borussia Mönchengladbach, Young Boys, Astana, Apoel Tel Aviv, Apoel, Eintracht Frankfurt, PAOK of Athens, Pauk, or whatever you pronounce them, St Etienne and Karabag.
Yeah.
It's the pot three that gets me, because there's teams in pot two that I would be happier we got than teams in pot three. Pot three is Feyenoord, Getafe, Espanyol, Malmo, Maribor, Standard Liège, Wolves, Spartak Moscow, Rijeka, Molde, Rennes and Rosenborg.
Jesus, I hope we don't get Rosenborg again.
Oh, I said, I couldn't be arsed.
God almighty.
No,
you're right. There's a lot of this. It's certainly gone by. I don't follow European football terribly closely, I've got to admit, but certainly gone by reputation and just name recognition, there's a few you'd want to avoid in pot three as well, aren't there?
Yeah, and then pot four is Istanbul, Basakir, I don't know, Vitoria Gimaresh, Trabzonspor, Antwerp, Alexandria, it's probably a team that used to be a different name, Wolfsburg, Wolfsberger, LASK, Dudelange, Lugano, there's another new team called Rangers, Cluj, and Ferencváros. So wouldn't it be great if we got Rosenborg and Cluj?
No, exactly. I'd fancy our chances against Cluj. As long as you picked the right team, we would definitely beat them home and away.
I think so. Well, we drew both games against them, so you'd expect that we could go back across there and get a result and not bugger up at home.
You'd like to think so. But, pot four, you're right. And again, going by name recognition, it doesn't sound like there's too many teams that we need to worry about there. I mean, and for purely selfish reasons, I desperately hope we get Arsenal, just because they're in London, and it'd be great to go and see Celtic in a competitive game in London. We'll just have to wait and see. I mean, generally speaking, we don't tend to get terribly easy draws, be it the Champions League or the Europa League, but we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, I mean, we could get Arsenal or Seville, you know, trip back to Seville.
Mm-hmm.
you know, maybe you could get, you could have a group where it's like Arsenal, Celtic, Espanyol, and Cluj, right?
Yep.
And or Vitória Guimarães to stick a Portuguese team in, and you'd think, well, there's a challenging group. Equally, you could get a group where you're playing Basel, Malmo, where we just thumped. We just thumped the Swedish champions.
Yeah.
And you, so you could get a group with Basel, Malmo, and then Lugano or somebody like that. And you'd be, you'd be thinking, maybe we can win it.
I would, as much as I said Arsenal, I would rather we got an easier team than Arsenal. I would rather we got an easy group, easy in inverted commas group, and then go through to the knockout stages, you know. But well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
It's always nice to get a sexy name in the group. I think we've had Man United.
Man United would be quite.
I think we could beat them.
Well, I wouldn't be too worried. I don't think Solskjaer is a great manager.
No.
So, but although you say that, I mean, the gap since we last played them, when we played them in the Champions League, that time. Well, I'm trying to think of the Strachan time when we got beat 3-2 and obviously Naka scored. You just look at how. Even since then, Scottish football and English football has just diverged massively. You know, the fees and the wages and everything like that, and it would be hard. It would be really hard.
But you could. The reason I say you could beat them is because you could get it at a point where everything's going against Man United, and they're on the verge of sacking the manager.
Well, maybe, and also they tend not to take the Europa League seriously. Maybe as we'll take it, so they might, you know, not put out a full strength team. And you might catch them, as you say, on a bad night when they're on a bad run and confidence is low. Yeah, you'd like to think so, and it would be great. But, you know, Man United at Parkhead would be a massive occasion anyway.
Yeah.
So that would be a proper European game, because I guess the fear, for as far as the board's concerned, probably as much as anything, is that you get into the Europa League and it's no very sexy, it's no very glamorous, it's no a full house. But, you know, you draw Arsenal, you draw Man United, and you're guaranteed a full house.
Yeah, but the thing about that is, don't forget, as was demonstrated, there are about 10,000 Old Firm fans among our support. And we sold out Europa League games last season. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons, I think, is because Rangers were also competing in the Europa League. I think some of those, the Old Firm fans who support Celtic, who didn't bother turning up to the Europa League when Ronnie Dyla was manager, I think some of those people were turning up because it's important for us to do better than them.
Maybe. Oh, well. And you've also managed to put a positive spin on Rangers getting through the night, so that's good.
Yes. So we'll see, but you know, it's just the Europa League. I just think it's a real mixed bag of it's a bit like the Champions League 15, 20 years ago, where you could get a group that you would look at it and go, we can get through this, or you could get a group you'd be like, no way are we going. I mean, I wouldn't like to be a fourth pod team like Rangers, because you could end up with a group that is something like Seville, PSV Eindhoven, Wolves and Rangers.
Well, let's hope so.
I think they would find it very hard. And the other consolation of them going through tonight is they're going to be playing Thursday, Sunday, like we are.
Aye, yeah. That to me is the biggest drawback of being in the Europa League, is the Thursday, Sunday thing. It's just, and it's, I feel sorry for the fans who maybe travel like from Ireland or in England, who are probably in the fixtures come out. They're looking at the home games and think, oh, well, that'll be a good one that Saturday, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, you fail to qualify for the Champions League. Loads of games, all those games switch from Saturday to Sunday, and it's less attractive, isn't it? Because you haven't got your work the next day. You've got a whole day to recover for the journey. So it's, the Thursday-Sunday thing is a massive pain in the back thing.
So we're through. We've got the group stages draw the weekend tomorrow. And then the other thing that's coming up this weekend is the last game of the Premier League season before the first international break, and that is a Glasgow derby against where we visit Ibrox. So,
aye,
what's your expectation? I mean, they're cocker hoop at the moment. You know, yeah. they won the summer cup, the pre-season cup
again.
Aye. Yeah. And so, what's your expectation?
Well, I mean, I've been thinking a lot about this, and we should go there without any fear. I mean, the last two visits to Ibrox have been horrific, but you know, this is a different season, different context. I think player for player, we've got absolutely nothing to fear. I'm still a bit nervous about the defence, but middle to front, we've got absolutely nothing to worry about. I don't think. I can see your front three causing them all sorts of problems. But they're going to have, I think, the ticketing allocation is a big factor. I don't think it's a coincidence that last year they won the two Ibrox games, we won the two Parkhead games. I think it does play a part when you've not got many fans there. So that is an issue. You've got to shut their supporters up. But on the pitch, I really don't. As long as we turn up, that's the thing. Last season, we just never turned up for the two games at Ibrox. I think if we turn up this time, then and manage to, as I say, silence their supporters, get the ball down, get a bit of possession, then I honestly don't see that we've got a lot to worry about. We'll probably go and get hammered now after I've said that. But I really don't. If you look at the players, the teams on paper, there's absolutely no reason why we can't go there and win.
Absolutely. I mean, I think we're a better team than them. I think we've got a better squad than them. The issue for us, I think now they're capable of beating I think the other teams in Scotland are not doing as well as they've done the last few seasons. So mm-hmm. The issue is that they're capable of matching us result for result, more or less. We'll see how they cope playing Thursday, Sunday, because I think actually the majority of our Sunday games after a Thursday Europa League game are at home, which means the majority of theirs will be away. So we'll see how they cope with that. But I think pretty much they're capable of matching us against the lesser yep. teams. Mm-hmm. So the challenge then comes, your concern then is all they need is a deflection off somebody's backside, balloons into the top corner of the net, and they've won at Ibrox. They come to Celtic Park, they get, you know, dodgy decisions in their favour, and it's a draw. And so it's important for us to get a result.
No, you're right. These games become much more important when the rest of the league isn't as strong and isn't going to take points off of them. Absolutely, you're right. But I think I can see them. They'll come out the traps on Sunday strong, and we've got to maybe probably withstand a bit of pressure in the first 20 minutes or so. But if we can then impose ourselves, you know, take the sting out of the game, get the ball down, have a bit of possession. You talk about James Forrest, you know, he's a massive player for us. Edward, I think's huge. You know, if he's on song, and he tends to, in the big games, Edward tends to step up. He's not a great record at Ibrox right enough, but you know, although I say that, he scored the winner that time. But I think as long as we turn up and are able to impose ourselves on them, then I don't think we have too much to worry about. Again, maybe we'll touch on it later on, but I'd be maybe a wee bit more confident if we'd been a bit more active in the transfer market during this window. But there's not a lot you can do about that now. But I'm certainly not worried about the game on Sunday. I'm not scared about how it will go. I think if we play our game, then we've got a fantastic chance of winning.
So I don't think if we sign anybody between now and Sunday that they're going to go straight into the first team.
I wouldn't have thought so. I think that would be a bit unfair.
Yes, so I'm not sure if El Hamid is fit. Let's say he's not, right?
Yeah.
And Ayers a doubt now for the game.
Mm-hmm.
So So what's your team going to be for Sunday? Do you throw Bauer straight in at right back if Ayer's injured?
Well, that's going to be the big decision. I mean, if it's either him or Ralston, then I think you probably do play Bauer, I guess. You throw him in there. He seems like a pretty confident guy. Hasn't he played a lot of football, obviously, lately? And it would be a big gamble. But I think I think we've got to hope that El Hamed's fit. I think I'd be more confident with him playing, because at least he's played a few games for us and he's looked half decent, I think. But if he's no fit, then Ralston or Bauer, I think he'll probably go with the new guy, I would have thought. Given that Ralston is way down the pecking order. So your team, I think Forster will be the goalie. Ayer's no playing, so I'll need to be and Jozo, I mean, what's the status with him? Is he bad then?
I don't know. I mean, it does frustrate me sometimes as a Celtic fan, the information you get about players injured. Do you know why Rogic, what's Rogic's injury and what's the prognosis and when he's likely to be back?
I've not a clue.
You know, you get a thing like, oh, Simonovic has got a bit of a niggle, so we're not sure that he'll make the next game. 4 weeks later, he's still nowhere near the squad and you're not here.
Aye, yeah, you're right. You get spun a line, basically. They don't tell you anything. But assuming Jozo's injured, I mean, ideally he would be fit, but if he's injured, then I guess it has to be Bitton and Julian, doesn't it?
Yeah, So
which isn't ideal.
Who's your goalkeeper?
Forster.
Right. So, and if Ayer's fit and Jozo's fit, who's your defence?
Well, I think Ayer's looked pretty good at right back, actually, this season so far. I mean, it's not his first position. Well, if El Hamed is fit, sort of ifs and buts here. If El Hamed is fit and Ayer's fit, you play El Hamed and you have Ayer and Julen in the middle, don't you?
Yeah.
And ball and goalie at left back, because there's no other option.
Yeah.
And I think, to be fair to him, he's looked a bit better in the last two or three games. He's looked a bit more like he's kind of finding his feet a wee bit.
He's played 300 games of football for, I think it was at Bruges and Rapid Vienna.
Yeah.
I don't think he's as bad as people have been commenting that he is.
I think there's been a combination of factors. I think the Tierney thing and him being thrown in. He's not obviously a Kieran Tierney, but you know who is, and he's not done himself any favours. He's made a few silly mistakes, and the crowd have got on his back, and that has now, so it becomes a kind of self-perpetuating thing. And the worry is that he gets written off. Be the supporters, he just becomes like, that ball and goalie man, he's garbage, blah blah blah. And it doesn't matter what he does, he just kind of shoots with that reputation. But I think, you know, he's managed to pull it back a wee bit in the last. And also, the talk all the time is that Lennon, oh, we've got to sign another left back who presumably would become the first choice left back. So, again, there's a suspicion that ball and goalie is no really our long term replacement for Kieran Tierney. But anyway,
I think also he's more of a wing back anyway, so he's more suited to playing a three at the back, and he's a winger.
Yeah, I think if they play him, well, they've got to play him on Sunday. He needs to be protected, you know. Because Tavernier is going to be bombing on, and you know, it could get a bit messy. But anyway, so he'll play, and then your midfield three, Brown. I think Bruni's maybe, you know, approaching the end of his Celtic career, maybe, but I think he's going to play in games like Sunday, without a doubt. And then McGregor, Christie, obviously they walk into the team. And then your front three again is Forrest, Edward and Mikey Johnson, I suppose. To me, anyway, that seems to be the obvious team to play, unless he's got some surprise up his sleeve, unless he's wanting to tweak the formation somehow. But I think if he's not wanting to take too many gambles, I would imagine that'll be the team he'll play.
I think it will be the team he'll play. I mean, I tend to be a wee bit more, I like the concept of being a wee bit more pragmatic for a game like that, where just make sure we don't lose, first of all, and then go on and win the game. I mean, this was my my irritation at the Cluj game. I felt he could have found a way to fit Christie, Brown, McGregor and then Cham onto the park so that if so the midfield was more solid and the whole thing was a bit, you know, maybe not as much on the front foot. And I suppose the argument would be, well, he's having to change the system a bit to start doing that, and unless you play McGregor as a winger, and then that's part of the pro, that's like playing McGregor as a left back, you know, you're same sort of criticism, you're taking away from where he's most effective and putting him somewhere else. But
absolutely,
that, yeah. That's my only thing. If you can try and find a way of getting those four players into the middle of the pitch, I just think you might be more solid and have more control of the game. But I don't think he's going to do that. So what's your thoughts on the score?
I mean, it's impossible for your heart not to roll your head in games like this. I mean, right now, I would take a draw. I would take a draw. I think a win is more important for them than for us. But I think we can definitely win it. I'm going to go 2-1 Celtic.
Okay. And the other thing that's happening between now and the next time we do a podcast, it'll be the end of the transfer window. So what's your thoughts on whether we will sign people? Obviously now we've got the extra ticket of being able to say yes, you've got European football with us.
I think we will sign people.
You're a well connected man down there in London, and you know you're a hack. You must have loads of connections.
You know fine well, Harry, you're much more connected to this type of thing than me.
I stick on, I mean, I shouldn't really tell people this, every single rumour I stick on comes from a text from you.
You'd never reveal your sources. I'm sure they will sign a player or two maybe before Monday. Is it midnight on Monday?
I think so.
But you know, we're sitting here on the 29th of August, and you know, our business should have been done weeks ago. So it gives a lie to this idea that there's a great plan, and that if we don't get X player, that's fine because we've got Y lined up and we've got Z as a backup. I mean, it's just been another shambolic transfer window. I saw a great tweet from one of the 20 Minute Tim's guys. I don't know if I'm allowed to mention them on your podcast.
You can mention inferior podcasts, it's fine.
But he made the point, and I've forgotten about this, that when the Turnbull thing fell through initially, before he had his medical and it fell through, when it first fell through, Celtic put that statement saying, we made them a magnificent offer, but we move on to other targets or whatever, you know, move on to the next. And who was that plan B? Who was the other midfielder that we had lined up if the Turnbull thing fell through? It was just rubbish.
Yeah, it's...
You know? But we're still... Lennon has been going on about how we need another left back. That's weeks now he's been going on about that. A right back. All right, we've got Bauer. I mean, are you really suggesting that a guy who... And he might turn out to be a really good player, and I've read good things with, like, Stoke fans about how they couldn't understand he can't get a game. But are you really suggesting that a guy who can't get a game for Stoke was always who we had in mind as our season-long loan with an option to buy at the end of August to be our new right back? I mean...
Well, when you consider that the English transfer window closed almost 3 weeks ago now,
yeah.
So probably we could have picked him up 3 weeks ago. You know, 3 weeks after the window, Stoke suddenly thought, do you know what? We don't fancy him after all.
Absolutely. So it's a bit like supermarket sweep again. We Celtic, we're sort of running around now as the clock ticks down to try and get a few bargains. We do have a fair bit of money in the bank. It just seems to be a dereliction of duty to me anyway. I know we've had problems with the recruitment, Congert and going, but he was a disaster anyway. But he goes and we bring in this Nicky Hammond fella as a summer job. The whole recruitment thing is just a bit shambolic.
I mean, the point about the Turnbull thing is the same point from last summer, when last summer we tried, at the beginning of last summer, we tried to sign the Sporting Lisbon right back, who who then went to Valencia. Can't remember his name.
Yep.
Escapes me.
Yeah.
Well, we then didn't sign anyone else. We didn't, you know, we're trying to sign. Beginning of June, we're trying to sign a right back. End of the transfer window, end of August, we haven't tried to sign any other right back.
It's still the stig.
Yeah. You know, same last season, and a guy tweeted, was it yesterday or today? A guy tweeted on my timeline something about, this is the worst transfer window in years. And I thought, well, worse than January when we signed a whole load of loan signings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Worse than last summer. Worse than last summer.
Before that, when they signed Comper and Jack Hendry.
Yeah. I mean, I can sort of get the point of, you know, so one of the jobs of the head of recruitment is to identify, you know, he's supposed to have scouts who feed into him. And from, you know, he's looking for certain types of players, and he'll be given out a remit of the types of players that we should be signing, you know, what their attributes that they're looking for. And the scouts will be feeding in reports on players all the time that they recommend that fit the type of players that fit with the type of system we want, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he will bring, the head of recruitment will bring that list forward, and then that list will have two or three names for two or three positions that we're looking in, or four or five positions, whatever it is, and we'll say he's currently on X salary, his expectation is to move to Y salary, and there's a buyout clause in his contract, or whatever it is that the, you know, the sales price would be. So my understanding is that Congerton was useless at this and was providing information that was just a whole load of crap, that we were going we were going in for players and putting in bids that were a million miles away from what the player was expecting, either salary wise or what the club was expecting, because he just got all that wrong, right?
Yeah.
So I get that when you've got that, as a consequence, you might have a couple of crap transfer windows. But from last August, September time onwards, we knew Brendan Rodgers was leaving. And if we'd come to some sort of arrangement with Brendan Rodgers that we knew he was leaving, he knew he was leaving, then you sit down with him and you say, right, okay, you're leaving, so your guy's leaving with you, so we need to set things up for when you go. You have that conversation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we don't have the scouts with boots on the ground who are then passing those reports up. And when you've not got the scouts, then what you're relying upon is you're relying upon agents, as they do, firing off my players available. But they're firing that off to 20 clubs, 30 clubs.
Mm-hmm.
Here's his wee YouTube clips video of my player who's available. You're not on the front foot about it. So
no, I know. And for a club whose whole business model is meant to be around identifying young talent who you can, who can go into the first team, but who are a development project as well, and then you, they make a name in Scotland and in Europe, and then you sell them on at a profit. Right, well, that's how it's supposed to work. But there's no evidence that that is in any way.
No, and then the other thing that's confused me about the transfer window is 31-year-old Fraser Foster, 28-year-old El Hamid, 26-year-old Julian, and 24-year-old Bauer. Or is he 26? Yep. Can't remember which. None of them fit with the, he's 21, 22, good enough to come into the first team.
Aye.
But within 2 years, he'll double his value and we'll sell him.
No, but what is his ball and goalie?
I think he's
300 grams. He must be in mid-20s anyway.
Yeah. So I am confused. At the moment, I'm completely confused with our transfer strategy.
No, but the fact remains that we're sat here end of August and only got 2 or 3 days to go in transfer window, and the manager, by his own admission, doesn't have the squad that he wants. He wants another left back. I think the right back position seems to have been filled. Now, he talked about wanting another striker, but maybe he's ditched that now because Bio has maybe come to the fore. Midfield wise, well, again, they'd identified Turnbull, so presumably they thought we needed another midfielder, but that doesn't seem to have happened. They both look at Connell, I suppose, but he is definitely a project. He's not going to be anywhere near the first team for a while. The whole thing just feels, you know, confused and panicky, and there doesn't seem to be a strategy.
Well, Mortis Bayer is 27. So right. That doesn't, you know, he's not going to be here for 2 years, and we will, you know, whatever price we pay for him, we'll sell him on. I mean, equally, I suppose maybe we're trying to mix it up a bit, and maybe we're saying you can't just keep buying projects. You've got to.
That's true.
To buy some first team players. The one thing we do need to do is get a replacement for Scott Brown.
Well, again, I don't want to harp on about it. I've mentioned this to you in messages, but, you know, John McGinn would have been the perfect replacement. And I know maybe you don't, I think we've discussed before, you maybe didn't see eye to eye with me when it comes to John McGinn, but there's absolutely no doubt in my mind that he'd have been the ideal replacement for Scott Brown. You wouldn't have had any worries about, well, if Brown got injured tonight and he wasn't available for Ibrox, who would be in that position? You think, oh, that's fine, we don't have anything to worry about, we don't have anybody.
Well, you'd have played in Cham and McGregor.
Well, aye, but I think you're not getting the best. You're not getting the best out of McGregor that way, and I don't think Cham's up to it. Certainly not long term. And Cham wants away.
Yeah, he does want away. Again, I've heard that there's a very good chance he'll not be at Celtic come 1st of September.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I wouldn't worry me too much, to be honest with you. I think he's somebody who gives the impression that he doesn't want to be there.
Yeah, he does. I mean, he's playing for the French under-21s, and can he get a game for us? Because he can't be asked. That's what it looks like.
That is what it looks like. So, I mean, again, the whole McGinn thing, but that, again, feeds into the whole, well, recruitment strategy is just ridiculous, you know. They should have had him nailed down easily last summer, and they blew it. Lobo blew it. But anyway... We move on.
Yeah, so that's a vicious journalist in you coming out there. So we're going to win 2-1 in Saturday. That's what you're going for.
Absolutely.
And we're going to add to the squad.
Because I've said so there's no doubt about it. Well, see, I'll be as nervous as a kitten come 12 o'clock on Sunday, and I won't relax again till 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay, so we've got the draw on we've got the draw tomorrow, and then we've got that. So hopefully you are correct. Hopefully we get a good draw. Hopefully we are playing European football after Christmas. That's my aim just now. So
that is definitely going to be the aim. They've achieved the aim of being in Europe until Christmas, which is a bare minimum these days, I think. And now it has to be. That is the one thing that can just about make up for not being in the Champions League group stages, is getting into Europa League after Christmas, into the knockout, and then you can take your chances then.
So the only political question I'm going to ask you is this. The only political question is, will Britain still be in Europe after Christmas as well?
That's a good question. I think we'll be out. One way or another, we'll be out.
All right, okay. I'm not going to bore you with any more political chat because you... Wait, the only other politics question I've got for you. When's your podcast back?
Oh, it'll be back, if not next week, certainly the week after. MPs are back next week. But the guy, Matt, who compares it and is like the kind of podcast supremo, he's actually off next week on a well-earned break, so it might be the week after. But certainly within the next 2 weeks. The Politics Home podcast there. I'll give it a plug.
I'll be putting links on for it as well for anybody who's silly enough to not be listening to it. And with that, I will say, Kevin Schofield, thanks very much.
Cheers, Harry.
Cheers. Hope you enjoyed that podcast. There's some marvellous things coming up with the Celtic FC Foundation. The Sleep Out has just been launched as preparation or as part of the larger campaign that will be coming up for Christmas. I know, it's only end of August. Anyway, get yourselves on the Celtic FC Foundation website and you'll see stuff about the Celtic FC Foundation Sleep Out. That was Kevin Schofield of Politics Home's famous podcast. And this is the Supernaturals. I was broken and patched with sellotape. Bits of shrapnel from his numerous heartaches. Pieced together like a hairpin's drift of wood. Press a random button, waited for something good. The bird of luck is sat upon my shoulder. The bird of luck is sat upon my shoulder. I put those disappointments in my trash folder. The bird of luck is sat upon my shoulder. It seems so straightforward when I look back inside. Well, I'm
that's a lot of love. I'm left holding when they try and pass the buck. Imagine my surprise when you walk down my street. I said there must be a catch, he must be on day release. The bird of luck is sat upon my shoulder. The bird of luck is sat upon my shoulder. I put those disappointments in my trash folder. The bird of luck is sat upon my shoulder. It seems so straightforward when I look back inside. Well, I was just another broken guy. It seems so straightforward the day I stumbled through. I should have known there's something good going on with you. The bird of luck is sat upon my shoulder. The bird of luck is sat upon my shoulder.